The following is a conversation with His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on July 7, 1976, in Washington, D.C.
However, you may improve your technological science. You are under the laws of materialism that you cannot change. But if you revive your spiritual life, then you can change. Otherwise it is not possible. If you keep yourself under the laws of material nature, then you have to be carried away by the laws of material nature, however expert you may be in technological understanding. Because after all, you are an instrument in the hands of material nature. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasa ahankar vimuratma kartaham iti mannate. You are falsely thinking that I am everything. I can, by technological understanding, I improve the condition. But the real problem is, as it is put forward by Bhagavad Gita, janmam mrityu jaravyadhi dukkha dosanudarsana. We are eternal, nahannate hannamane sarire. We are put under the laws of material nature by which we have to accept birth, death, old age and disease. This is our real problem. So unless you make a solution of these problems, there is actually no advancement of education. Because the problem remains the same.
Saying that we're governed by the laws of nature says we are a biological creature like the rest of life.
You should not remain under the laws of material nature. Devi jesa gunamai mama maya duratraya. It is very difficult.
In one of the cover letters we went out to some of the people in the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics, I referred to mankind as a biological phenomenon to solve one of nature's big problems. And a man wrote back, says, anybody who calls man a biological phenomenon shouldn't try and talk to me. So, I don't know what he thinks we are.
Biological phenomena is
nature. It is nature. It is nature. Governed by the laws of nature, exactly.
So you can get out of it, as it is advised. Devi jesa gunamai mama maya durataya. It is very difficult. But mamiyo ja prapadante maya metang taranti. If you surrender to God, then you can get out of this biological problem. Otherwise, it's not possible.
Excuse me, is your name Bill?
Right.
Did you ever inquire if you asked what is the source of the light? You know, like if you look at a light bulb, you examine that it has a source of actually light. You can trace it back to the electric company.
Right.
And the people who are running the electric company are personalities, right?
Right.
So in the same way, the light of the sun, the light of the moon is coming from a person, a personality, right? And we say that person is the source of all truth, actually.
This is from which everything is coming. Interesting. I say radiant energy from the sun was to be the most important ingredient for our living earth. We know the content of the sun's rays is light and heat. This is what our senses tell us. We measure wavelengths and we see colors in sunlight. However, the sun rays are a blend of radiant energy so complex that we may never understand their significance. And I believe, at least in our generation, I don't think we'll quite understand how complex the sun is. So I agree totally with you.
It's not only that, but the theory of relativity. The observer is also a part of the observed phenomenon.
That's
consequently,
For
that reason, it's difficult to comprehend the infinity by the finite mind. And chanting gives you something, gives me something.
That's right. Well, you find intuitive understanding.
I can't explain it.
It brings you to the uncertainty.
It's Heisenberg's principle, yes. E is equal to h nu with the Planck's constant there, the frequency.
Achinta khaluje bhava latas tarkena jujaya. Things which are inconceivable, do not try to understand by arguments. Achinta khaluje bhava natas tarkena jujaya. So our process, this Krishna consciousness movement, is to take knowledge from the authority. Unless we take knowledge from the authority, however we may go on arguing, we cannot come to the conclusion. The modern scientists, philosophers, they are arguing, but they do not come to the conclusion. If you want to take conclusion, just like two lawyers are arguing in the court, but the conclusion is given by the authority, the judge, that one has to accept.
Excuse me just a minute.
So we take authority, the Bhagavad Gita or Krishna, he's accepted authority by all the acharyas, Ramanuja Acharya, Madhya Acharya, Vishnu Swami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Shastra also, Vyasadeva, Narada, Devala, Sita. So, our authority is confirmed. So if we take conclusion from the authority, then we benefit. Otherwise, with our limited knowledge, if we go on arguing, then we cannot understand the conclusion. That is not possible. Tarko apratishthasutayu bivinya. By argument, we cannot come to the conclusion. I can argue, and you can argue, but you may argue more than me. Another person can argue more than you. In this way, you do not come to the conclusion. And sutayo bibhinna. As far as scriptures are concerned, they are also different scriptures. Naso mani jasya matangna bhinna. And a philosopher is not a philosopher if he does not agree with others, if he does not agree with other philosophers. In this way you are perplexed. Therefore, it is advised, Mahajana jena gadasya pantha, we should accept the authority. And then we shall be benefited. So the authorities are mentioned in the Shastra, who are authorities. So if we follow the authorities, then we get the conclusion. So Krishna is the authority accepted, at least in India. All the Vedic authorities, Vedanti, they have accepted. Krishna is the authority. So we simply follow what Krishna says, and we get benefit out of it. Then it is all right. Without following authority, if you go on arguing, there is no end. The same example, that two lawyers, both of them are learned scholars, they are going on arguing on some point. They do not come to conclusion, but when the judge gives conclusion, that has to be accepted. That is final. So we have to find out the judge, and that is Krishna. So we have got many points to understand by argument, but if we take the judgment of Krishna, Then it is conclusive. And he has his direction in every field of life. The Bhagavad Gita. Even our political leaders, they also accept Bhagavad Gita for guidance. So if we take guidance from Bhagavad Gita without man interpretation, then we are very good. Unfortunately, we interpret our own way, which is favorable to us. And that is not required. Then the authority of the Bhagavad Gita is gone. We make our own conclusion, supposing on the authority of Bhagavad Gita. That will not help us. By malinterpretation. You take the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita as it is, then you will be very good.
May I ask a question? Is it possible to aim at any form of personal existence after death?
Yes.
To aim at it, I mean.
You are personally existing, you are old man.
So you...
You are, when you are a child, you are a person. When you are a young man, you are a person. Now you are old man, you are a person. Your personality is continuing, although the body is changing. You are not missing your personality. Therefore, personality continues even when you change this body. That is explained in the Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter. Krishna says, end of this verse,
Dehinosmin yata dehe kumaram drovaram tura nahanyitayanimanisurya
nahanyitayanimanisurya. No, there is another verse. But Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, you and me, and all these persons were assembled here.
Natyavaivam. Natyavaham jatuna sangna sangne me junadipa nachayiva na bhavishyama sarve vayana tatparam. Translation. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be.
That means in the past we existed. At present we are existing, and in future we shall continue to exist individually. And that is our experience. I existed in the past as a child, so I existed as a person. I existed as a young man, so I existed as a person. I am an old man now, so I am existing as a person. Naturally, the conclusion is, when I shall change this body, I shall remain a person. How you can change this conclusion? I am continuing to exist as a person. I am still existing as a person. And here is the authority. He says, in the future also you remain as a person. So there is time factor, past, present and future. And in all these time factors, I live as a person. Not only me, I, but also Krishna, he says, I also remain as a person. You, Arjuna, you also person, I am also person. And all these soldiers and kings who have assembled, they are also person. So our personality continues, past, present and future.
So then, when you are when you die and you're buried, they bury your body.
My body, really, but I was.
They bury my body, whoever. They bury your name. They write it on a stone, maybe. But they bury your name. They bury your memory.
Then that what, is...
And what survives, I'm going to ask, what? And then what survives, no memory, no body, no name.
That is soul.
It's a spirit.
Yeah. Spirit soul.
And the spirit would not necessarily have the ability to point and say, I used to be in that body, or that body, or that.
No, that he forgets. Mm-hmm. Death means forgetfulness. Just like accepting that I was existing in previous life, but now I do not remember. This is death. But I am existing as a fact. The same example, everyone knows, but he was existing as a child, he was existing as a young man. So, because it is short period, I remember. But when the body is completely changed, the atmosphere is completely changed, we forget. But actually, I exist. Continually. Na hannate hannamane sarire. This is the authoritative statement that I am not annihilated on account of my body being annihilated. So the burying the body or giving some name, some tomb, that is the business of my relatives, my friends, my family members. But as I am aloof from this. I have accepted another body. And then begin my life in a different way. So people do not try to understand this science, how it is happening. That is all described in the Bhagavad Gita. If we study Bhagavad Gita very carefully, we can understand the philosophy of life correctly.
This gentleman here has a question.
You mentioned understanding. You mentioned lawyers arguing, and the judge makes the decision, and their higher authority resolves the question. Can you suggest how people can go beyond that to spiritual understanding, not just appealing for a judgment over a controversy about facts? What suggestions or comments do you have about achieving spiritual understanding?
That is very simple. Spiritual understanding, that is, I was speaking. I speak when this is beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Spiritual understanding is that I am not this body. Move little this way. This is spiritual understanding. So long I am under this bodily concept of life, that I am this body, I am American, I am Indian, I am Hindu, I am Christian, I am white, I am black, and so on and so on. These are all bodily concepts of life. So long we keep ourselves on this platform, then we are on the material platform. When you understand that I am not this body, that is the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Dehinasmin jathadehi. Deha means this body. And dehi means the owner of the body. So unless we distinguish the owner of the body and the body, there is no spiritual knowledge. So long we identify with this body, that is material life. And when we understand that I am not this body, I am a spirit soul, I have been entrapped by this body, that is spiritual life.
Well, is it not also true that the more you can realize, I am not this body, but there is that about within my body which is spiritual, and that is that in an African's body which is spiritual, or a Chinese.
Everyone's body.
Everyone's body. Therefore, the thing we have in common is we are all a part of the spirit.
Yes. That is fact. We are part and parcel of the Supreme Spirit, God. That is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Mamaivamsa jiva bhuta. All these living entities, they are my part and parcel. But qualitatively, we are one. Just like a small particle of gold is also gold. It is nothing else. Similarly, we being part and parcel of God, we have got that godly qualification. God can create, we can also create. That example I have given in this my last magazine, that we have created this big 747 airplane, but we cannot create a mosquito. That is also a plane with pilot. That is God's creation. So the creative power, both of us, we have got. But we are limited and He is unlimited. That is the difference. A drop of seawater that contains the same chemical, but the quantity of Atlantic Ocean and drop of Atlantic Ocean is not the same. So we are just like drop of the Atlantic Ocean, and God is Atlantic. That is the difference. But to chemically test, the whole Atlantic Ocean is salty, we are also salty. Whatever chemical composition is Atlantic Ocean, we are also of the same chemical composition. And because we are part and parcel of God, therefore we show sometimes activities very wonderful. But it's still God's activities and still more wonderful. That we cannot compare. That is not possible. So, we should understand what is the duty of the part and parcel. Now, just like this finger is the part and parcel of my body. So, what is the duty of the finger? To serve the whole body. I order the finger, please come here immediately. It does like this. So the finger is being part and parcel of the body. It is the duty of the finger to serve the whole body. When the finger is unable to give any service, then it is disease. If there is some pain in the finger, I want to use this finger for some purpose, to pick up this flower, I cannot do it. That means it is disease. Similarly, we living entities, part and parcel of God, when we are unable to give service to the Supreme, that is our disease condition. That is not normal condition. And when we actually able to give service to God, that is our heavenly condition. So in the materialistic way of life, we are diseased. Because we are diseased, therefore you have to accept birth and death. Tapo dibbang putra ka jina suddheta satta. So we have to get free from this diseased condition, cure the diseased condition of our existence. And then it will be cured. For that purpose, we have to execute austerity, penance, tapasā brahmacaryena samena dhamena va. These practices are there. But there is one practice that is called bhakti. Kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana. One, vasudeva parayana. Vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudeva. When one understands the Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is everything, then he becomes the greatest Mahatma. That platform is achieved after many, many births. Bhavanam janmanamanti jnanavan vang prapadvati. Vasudeva sarvamiti. Vasudeva is canvassing. Sarva-dharmān parityajya māmekaṁ saraṇaṁ bhaja. You just surrender to me, I shall give you your protection. And one has to come to this position, Vasudeva sarvamiti. So one who is intelligent, he will take it immediately. That bahunāṁ janmanāvanti, after many, many births, if I have come to this position, the Vasudeva is everything, so why not accept him immediately? That is intelligent. Why shall I work for many, many births? I have got now sense. I have got this human body. Let me do it immediately. That is sense. And if you want to wait for many, many births to come to this conclusion, we can do that. That is our misfortune. So our Krishna consciousness movement is that you take immediately, without waiting, for many, many births. Don't wait. Now you have got human form of body, and here is the opportunity, sarva-dharmān parityajya-māmekaṁ saraṇaṁ bhaja, to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why not do it now?
And is it sure to go through in this life if you try this hard?
Yes, it is sure. He said, aham tvā sarva pāpebhyo mokkhasyāmi māsu. It is sure. It is not speculation. It is fact. As soon as you surrender, you immediately become free from all sinful reaction of life. And we suffer on account of sinful reaction of life. So intelligence is that here is the opportunity. Māmi vaja prapadante māyāmi thāng tarantite, to get out of the clutches of the influence of material energy, why not take it now? That is what. Vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma puja.
When you talk of Krishna, sometimes we talk with our friends here, and I think you are here, you know, to ask you this thing. When you talk of Krishna, Do we mean that we are talking of Krishna or Mahabharata, or we are talking the Krishna, the God, or the Supreme Head?
Well, Krishna, Mahabharata and Krishna, God is the same person. Why do difference here? Why you are differentiated? My question will be, how to differentiate the Krishna Mahabharata and Krishna God different? Because Krishna is speaking Bhagavad Gita, that is a chapter in the Mahabharata. So how do you differentiate? What is the cause that you are differentiating?
What I think that the...
You think you have already explained. But where is the basis of your thinking like that? Because everyone knows the Mahabharata battle was there. Battle of Kurukshetra. That is a chapter in the Mahabharata. And Krishna is the speaker in that battle of Kurukshetra. And Arjuna is the fighter. How do you take away the Krishna of Mahabharata from the battlefield of Kurukshetra? What is your reason?
No, that is all right. Krishna, we got better. Do you take it?
You have to take it. Because there is no difference. As soon as you bring in Mahabharata and Krishna, the Krishna is the same. You cannot take it differently. Because Krishna is speaking to one of the parties of the fighter. The Kurus and the Pandavas. And that is the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Dharma Khetre, Kuru Khetre, Samaveta, Jujutsava. Jujutsava means two parties desiring to fight. Who are those parties? Mamaka Pandavas Saiva. That is the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. That is the Mahabharata history. So how can differentiate this Krishna, that Krishna? There is no possibility. It is imagination. The beginning is Mahabharata and the Bhagavad Gita.
Swamiji, excuse me for this. I read an article recently. One of my secretaries, he brought that article to me. It was written by Dr. Banerjee in India. He's a professor at Calcutta University. And he says that Krishna and the Mahabharata, the Kurukshetra, that is all imagination.
That is his foolishness. He's a fool. He does not know the facts. And he has posed himself as a learned scholar. That is the difficulty. Fools and rascals presenting themselves as scholar and misrepresenting. People are being misguided. Because he is a learned scholar, you are citing his example.
Yes.
But he is a fool. He doesn't know what is Mahabharata, what is Krishna. And still he wants to put, to say something, that is his foolishness. He doesn't know. And he still wants to speak something. That is cheating. The cheating propensity is there for conditioned soul. He does not know one thing, still he wants to speak as authority. That is cheating. How you can differentiate? If you are actually student of Mahabharata, then how you can differentiate the speaker in the battlefield of Kurukshetra and Krishna? Krishna is accepted there as Bhagavan. When our Vyasadeva writes Krishna's statement, he writes Bhagavan Uvacha. He is Bhagavan. And as well as he is a historical person in the Mahabharata. He never writes Krishna Bhagavan. He writes Bhagavan Uvacha. And Arjuna admits Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Param Ambhava. Purusham, Adhyam, you are the Supreme. How can you differentiate Krishna, Mahabharata and Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna? These are miscalculations.
Those are, we didn't say that Krishna or Mahabharata. We said that when you read, I don't know that much, but what I read, just when you read the Vedic literature, there comes some Nirguna Brahma and Saguna Brahma. Now, maybe
Krishna
I don't...
Krishna is Parabrahma. Krishna is Parabrahma.
Yeah, but my confusion came, sir.
Brahma. We are all Brahma, living entities. We are simply thinking, I am this body. So, when we are, that I was speaking, liberation, when we come to the conclusion that I am not this body, aham brahmasmi. So you are already Brahma, but you are forgetfully, you are thinking that you are Indian. That is Maya. We are all Brahma. But due to our ignorance, lack of knowledge, we are thinking, I am Indian, I am American, I am Hindu, I am Muslim, I am Christian, I am this, I am that. That is Maya. So, when you actually understand that I am not this body, I am spirit soul, that is a fact, that condition is called Brahma Bhuta. Now we are Jiva Bhuta. We are thinking I am an individual person of this country, of this religion. That is Jiva Bhuta. But when we understand that we are not Jiva Bhuta, we are Brahma Bhuta, that is our liberated position. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. When one becomes actually understanding that I am not this body, I am spirit soul, then my all responsibility of this bodily connection immediately ceases. See, I am not this body. And why am I working for this body? Why am I in ignorance? And that is called Brahma Bhuta. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. Na sochati, na kankati. That is liberated stage. So, we are already Brahma. There is no question of becoming Brahma. We are mistaking something else that I am not Brahma. So, when we come to the actual understanding, aham brahmasmi, that is called Brahma Bhuta state. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. Na sochati, na kankati. Samasarvita, then he sees everyone on equal level, that every soul is Brahma. Vidyavinaya sampanne, brahmani, gavihasini, sunicheta sapakesa, pandita samadarshi. That is samadarshi. He sees the same soul within a learned brahmin and within a dog. Samasarvita puja. That is the stage of bhakti. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, na sochati na kankati, samas sarvesu bhutesu. Madhvakti lavati kara. So, when you come to the standard of bhakti, then you can understand Krishna. Bhaktyamam abhijana. Unless you come to that stage, you cannot understand Krishna. You'll miss that. Manushyanam sahasresu kaschit jatiti siddhaya. The siddhi means to become liberated from the bodily concept of life. So, out of many millions of people, one gets the opportunity of becoming siddha, Brahma Buddha. And jatatama vi siddhana, Kaschi Beti Mahantam. And those who are Siddhas, liberated, out of many of them, Kaschi Beti Mahantam. So how this Mr. Banerjee will understand Krishna? He is not a bhakta. He cannot understand. He can talk of the honey within the bottle. He cannot taste it. If he wants to taste, then somebody must be able to open the bottle and give him liquid. Then he will get it. And then he let him lick up the bottle. That's it. So those who are licking the bottles, they cannot say what is the taste of the honey. One must actually taste. That is possible. Bhakta maam abhijana. That taste is available by the bhakta, not by the so-called scholars. Very much. Nāyam ātmā pravacane na labhya. That is Vedic Indian. Na medhaya, na bhunasute, na. You cannot realize self by your intelligence or by your learning or by your brain. Nāyamātmā pravacane na labhya, na bhunasute, na. So, when the Atma, Paramatma reveals himself to somebody, he can understand. And that revelation is possible when you are a bhakta. Otherwise, it is not. He clearly says, bhakta vāma vyāna. He never says, by brain one can understand. Never says. By speculation one can understand. No. This is not the problem. Bhakta māma vijānāti, yāvān jaschāni tattva. In the beginning he said, kaschit vetti māma tattva. Jatatāma pi siddhāna. Those who are siddhas, already liberated, out of that many, still they are unable to understand. Tattva, in truth. But here he says, bhakta māma vijānāti, jāvān jaschāmi tattva. Only through bhakti one can understand in truth what is Krishna. Otherwise it is not possible. Because one is scholar, he can understand Krishna. That is not there.
But this paradox, which is this thing, in mostly in Vedāshrams, that the form of the God is neti neti, and then they say that the whichever the people like Rama and Krishna, they call it is a...
They say.
Yeah, I mean, what are,
they say they have no value. Because if it is a fact that one can understand God through bhakti, so whatever bhakta says, that is value. What a nonsense says, it has no value. It has no value. They say. But first of all, we have to think what they are. Are they speculator or bhakta? Just like beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, bhaktosi, I am talking to you, Bhagavad Gita, because you are my bhakta. So it is the subject matter. Bhagavan is the subject matter for the bhakta, not for others. Others, they will speculate only. They will never understand what is Krishna.
Yesterday you said, yudāyudāhi dharmasya glānir bhavati bhārata abhyutthāna dharmasya tadātmānam śrijāmaḥ.
Yes. This is dharmasya glāni. That those who are not bhakta, speculators, they are talking of God. This is dharmasya glāni. How they can talk of God? They cannot talk. Even they are talking, that is misleading. Because nobody can talk of God unless he is a devotee of God. You see? Bhaktosu. Fourth chapter. The subject matter of Bhagavad Gita is to be understood by bhakta, not by speculator. Read it.
Yoga prakta puratana.
I am just talking to you that puratan, old yoga system, which I spoke to the Sun God. Why you are talking to me? Then?
Bhaktosime.
He has got a Vedantist. He was a soldier. So how the soldier can understand the highest topics of bhakti yoga? Among me was sati yogam prattvanamamma. The yoga. How the soldier, Arjuna was not a Byzantine, he was a fighter. There was a doubt that how a soldier can understand. Therefore Krishna, bhaktosi, you can understand because you are my bhakta. The first qualification, one must be a bhakta. Then he can understand. Otherwise it's not possible.
How can then the God can come in, can be in a human form? Because human, when you talk of human body, it is a limited
He does not
body.
Come in human form. He is like human being. Dibhuj. That is also explained in the Bhagavad Gita. He is, in the Bible it is said, that man is made after God. The human being, two hands, two legs, this body they have got, that is the original form of God. But because he comes in that form, abhijananti manamurha, manasintanumasa, they think that he is a man. His original form is that. But because we are habituated to see two hands, two legs of human being, we take him as human being. But that is his original form. Abhijananti manamurha. Kind of. So if we accept him as a human being like us, then we are Mura. Rascals. He says, Abhijananti manamurha, manasintanuvasa, parambhavamaja. They do not know what is behind this human form. God is omnipotent, almighty. He can take any form he likes. He cannot check it. He cannot say how Brahma can come in human form. Why he cannot come? It is all powerful. Where is the difficulty? Taking your argument, if Brahma is all-powerful, then what is the difficulty for him to come as human being?
Well, there cannot be no difficulty. That's reasonable.
Yes. But if we take him, just like here there are so many gentlemen, that here is a lawyer or here is a high court judge, and if I take him, that he is also an ordinary man, that is my mistake. Even if he comes as an ordinary visitor, still he is high court judge. His position is not declared.
So that, sir, you will have to expect.
Therefore, Krishna, even if you take that he has come as a human being, still he is Krishna, he is God. That is explained.
Abhijananti mamudha manushim tanurasvita padambhava majananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Translation. Fools deride me when I descend in this human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be.
Yeah, but this type of statements has been made in all the other religions also. The prophet always speaks like...
The prophet can speak.
Yeah, he
prophet
is
representative of God.
Yeah, it is like that, sir, just you said that it's a small pond and a big pond. No doubt he is a big light. You cannot ignore that thing.
Mm-hmm.
This thing. But what my confusion is this thing, that we have to... And a bhakt will also, with a limited sense, will never able to go to that extent unless he has to surrender to some bigger power than him. And what I think
that we take Krishna as a bigger power.
Right, sure, we have to take. We have to take a bigger power. Is there? Otherwise.
So if we take Krishna as bigger power, there is no controversy.
Yeah,
whatever he says, we have to accept.
Yeah, we have to take it like this, just like we have to take even some of this, any statement you make, we are going to take it, because we think people of your state who have experienced the life, which I didn't do, they are the authority on that thing.
If you accept Krishna authority, then at least he is bigger than you.
Yes, sure. Not only authority on this, sir, authority in this thing, because they have experienced, gone to that stage.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely we have to, because just like from a teacher, a boy learns, and it is that method. You have to learn from higher person.
Mm-hmm. So if you accept Krishna as the highest authority, and not only you accept, but all other authorities, they accept. Find out this word. Parabrahma param dhama pavittam paramam bhava.
Arjuna vacha parambrahma param dhama pavittam paramam bhavan purusham shashvatam nityam.
Purusham shashvatam nityam.
Aridevam ajam
vibhu. Aridevam ajam vibhu.
Ahustvam vishaksarve devashir naradastata. Asito devalo vyasa svayam chaiva bhradishime.
So, this is confirmation that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if you accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then you have to accept him as he says.
It's a great power, yes.
Not great power, but greatest power. Nobody is greater than him. That is accepted by the direct listener of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna. And he is giving evidences of Vyasadeva, Vasita, Devala, Narada. They are authorities. And in the recent years, the acharyas, Ramanucharya, Madhvacharya, Nimbarka, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were accepted. And he speaks also. Then where is doubt?
No, I don't have. I just want to clear this thing, that thing. I accept, sir, this thing. It is a great power. It is the supreme power.
Not a great power. It is the great power. Matta parataram nanna. There is no more greater power than him. That is his belief.
Because my point is this thing. Sometimes this a difference comes in this thing. Suppose a man of other religion says, okay.
No, it is not a question of religion. It is a question of God. God is great. That is accepted by all religion.
Yes, sir.
So, if Krishna is the great, then he is God. Where is the argument?
Yeah, then that didn't come. Question didn't come. Just like you stated, the time
Then you have to study Krishna. That where is the great, the only great. Then you will understand. God is great, there is no religion will differ in this connection. But if you find that yes, Krishna is the greatest, then you have to accept. There is no other argument. Yeah. And God is great. Now we have to analyze what is the greatness. A man is supposed to be great when he is very rich. A man is supposed to be great when he is very wise, man of knowledge, strength, reputation. So item by item, you analyze and see. You see Krishna is the greatest. By reasoning, therefore he is God. They have been analyzed. We find in the nectar of devotion. The Goswamis have analyzed the characters of Krishna and they found him the greatest. God is great, and if he is the greatest, then he is God. I cannot deny it. At least we can see the Bhagavad Gita, the little knowledge given by Krishna, that is still standing the greatest. 5,000 years passed. Nobody could give such a book of knowledge throughout the whole world. The Bhagavad Gita is studied not only by the Indians or the Hindus, but by all scholars of the world. Such persons who think that there is somebody greater than Krishna, they also recognize. And they recite from the Bhagavad Gita. Even Shankaracharya, the leader of the Mahavali, he says, Bhagavad Gita Kinchita Gita. Is it not? Does he not say?
Was it not Shankaracharya Swamiji who said, Vande Krishna Jagat Guru?
Yes.
Was it not?
Yes. Madhugovindam, Vande
Krishna Jagat Guru.
He is the leader of the impersonalist. He accepts Krishna through Bhagavan Sam. So Bhagavan Sam Krishna. Then what to speak of the Vaishnava Acharya, Ramanucharya, Madhvacharya? Ramanucharya has given Bhagavad Gita comments. Every line, basic evidence. You read Bhagavad Gita, commented by Ramanucharya, you'll find every line he has quoted from Veda. So there is no doubt about it. Simply, one has to study very intelligently about Krishna, then he will come to the conclusion that he is God.
I would like to ask a question, but I'm a little bit timid about doing so. But I will ask it. Oh, and it's this. Would it be possible to think of, well, first I'd have to say that I tend to think of religions as personalities. Would it be possible?
Why?
All the religions.
No. Why you think like that? You are not authority.
I merely say that I do. I don't say that I'm right to do so. I simply do.
This is due to our limited knowledge.
Yes.
Because I am a person. I have got my limited knowledge. I am thinking of God, that if God is a person, then he has limited knowledge. That means I am bringing God to my level. That is my defect. We say God is all-powerful, almighty. Still, he cannot become a person. Why do you think that? If he is almighty, He can become person.
Yes.
Then why do you deny it?
I don't.